Okay, Bible and Daily Lifers, here we are. We are in what we call Holy Week. So we're not going chapter by chapter this week. We're doing Holy Week. Now, Holy Week's not something that's in the Scripture. The Scripture doesn't have anything that's called Holy Week. It's a phrase that we've come to call the last week of the life and ministry of Jesus over the years, over the centuries, as the church has been together. So Holy Week, it begins with what we call Palm Sunday. And you can find that in a few places in the Scripture. You can find it in Matthew 21. You can find it in Mark 11. That's where we're going to look in Mark 11. And what happens in Mark 11 on this day that we call Palm Sunday is Jesus comes into Jerusalem. Now, here's the idea. Here's the whole Holy Week picture. Jesus has been in Jerusalem three times with his disciples. And this is the last time. And they sort of know that it's the last time as well. And they know that Jesus is setting up a kingdom, and they know that Jesus is the rightful heir to the throne of Israel. So they think he's going to be setting up an earthly kingdom. Well, he is setting up an earthly kingdom in that he's going to be the king of the whole world, but he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords forever and ever and ever, from eternity to eternity. He's king. He's Lord. So it's not an earthly kingdom in that he's going to rule over some little geographical realm. He rules over all. Well, anyway, he's coming into the city of Jerusalem, and he's going to be coming in and out. Now, this is what's called the Feast of the Passover. The Passover goes all the way back to the book of Exodus. It goes all the way back to the book of Genesis, when in Genesis 15, God told Abraham that his people, Abraham was one man who his family grew to 70. When there were 70 people, they went down into Egypt because there was a famine, and they stayed there until they became several million people. So when they become several million people, they seem to be a threat to Egypt. There's kings and pharaohs that have arisen that don't know Abraham or his family, and they make them slaves. And it says that they built some of the storehouses in Egypt. They were slaves. It says in Exodus 2 that they cried out to God. God heard their cry, and God takes some action. So he's going to deliver them from bondage. He's going to deliver them from slavery. How is he going to do it? He's going to do it through the blood of a lamb. What he's going to tell them is that they need to go into their houses. They need to find a lamb. And they need to find a perfect lamb, really, because they would bring the lamb in for 14 days and look at him for a little while and make sure that that lamb was perfect, or as perfect as a lamb can be. The picture there is Jesus in John 1. It says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So God himself came in, and in verse 14 in John, it says he came and he dwelt among us for a little while. So Jesus was with us for a little while, 33 years, and we got to look at his life just like these people who brought these lambs into their homes got to examine them for 14 days. We got to examine Jesus for 33 years, and we find out that his life is perfect, that he is, in fact, God. He is, in fact, 100% human, 100% God. So they would bring this lamb into the house, and they would examine it, and what was going to happen is the angel of judgment, the angel of death, was going to come over the land, and they were to take this innocent lamb. The lamb's innocent. The lamb hasn't done anything. They were to take this innocent lamb. They were to slay it right at the right time, and then they were to take the blood of that lamb, and they were to put it on their doorpost three times, splash it onto your doorpost three times. And when the angel of death, when the angel of judgment comes through, it says, when I see the blood on your door, I will pass over you. So that's where you get Passover. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Well, that's what happens with us when we apply the blood of Jesus Christ to our life. When he sees the blood, he passes over us. All he sees is the blood of the innocent lamb. Well, Jesus was that innocent lamb. Not only is he the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, but he's the Lamb of Lambs. You don't need any more slaughtered lambs. You see, the idea of the slaughtered lamb is that the innocent would die for the guilty. And Jesus was totally innocent. In the Scripture, there's many accounts of people saying that he was innocent. One of those accounts is Pontius Pilate's wife, when the Jewish leaders, the Jewish religious leaders, bring Jesus to Herod and to Pilate. Pilate's wife has a dream. And she says, listen, Pilate, she said, don't do anything to this guy. I had a dream and he hasn't done anything. Don't do anything to him. He's innocent. Well, he goes to Herod. Herod says, there's nothing, this guy didn't do anything. He goes to Pilate, the Jewish authority, sent him to Pilate. Pilate said he didn't do anything. Jesus, he's crucified. There's a thief on either side, and they're making fun of him. And then one of them comes to his senses, and he says, listen, he said, we're guilty. This guy hasn't done anything. And that's the one where the thief says to Jesus, you know, when you come into paradise, remember me. And Jesus said, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Well, the thief said that he was innocent. The centurion, the Roman centurion that was watching him when he died, when Jesus gives up his life, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, gives up his life. The Roman centurion said, truly this was the Son of God. So he was innocent. He was the innocent one dying for the guilty. And that's the picture of the gospel. And that's what's going to happen as Jesus is going to go into the city of Jerusalem. This is the last week of the life and ministry of Jesus. He's going to go to the cross. He's going to die. What happens in Mark chapter 11 on Sunday is when he comes in, he's on a donkey, and he comes in and he comes on what's called the Palm Sunday Road. It wasn't called the Palm Sunday Road then. They took palms off of the trees and they made a red carpet for him to come into the city. And they're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now I'm going to read to you out of Mark what happens there. Jesus is going around. He goes into the temple area. Verse 11, Mark 11, 11. He went into Jerusalem and into the temple, and looking around at everything, since it was already late, he went back out of Bethany. So they're coming in and out of the city in this last week, right? In and out of the city. They're not staying in the city. There's too many people there. There's hundreds of thousands of worshipers there. They found a place. They're staying outside of the city. Jesus sees what's going on in the temple area. What's going on in the temple area? Well, let's just jump down to verse 15. They came to Jerusalem, and he went into the temple. This is the next day. This is the next day. He had come in on Monday, on Sunday, the triumphal entry. He's looking at the temple. He sees everything that's going on. And he's not going to take action on that Sunday, but he's going to come back the next day. So they came to Jerusalem, and he went into the temple, and he began to throw out those buying and selling. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. And he wouldn't permit anyone to carry goods to the temple. He was teaching them, and he said, is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations? The Greek word there is ethnos, all peoples. But you've made it a den of robbers or a cave of robbers. Okay, what's going on here? Well, the people were supposed to bring lambs to slaughter for their sin, where the lamb would take their place, the innocent lamb would take their place. Now, if you were poor, you could bring a dove. And it says here that they were selling doves. Well, why were they selling doves there? Well, because not everybody was bringing the animals with them. If you were traveling 60 or 80 miles going to Jerusalem, you might rather bring money than bring an animal with you for 60 or 80 miles. Could you imagine walking your dog for 60 miles? So they have money, and they're going to buy these sacrificial animals at the temple, in the temple area. Well, the money changes. What's the deal with that? Well, if you've ever traveled, sometimes what you find out is that the exchange rate is much higher. So these people had money. But when they get there, they're saying, well, you know, your money, it's not worth quite as much now, you know, inflation, all of these kinds of things. And they were gouging God's people. They were taking advantage of God's people. Peter calls this making merchandise of them. 2 Peter 2:3, he says, in their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they've made up. They'll have this religious aura, this religious feel that make you think that they're religious. These guys are making you think they're religious. They're there for the Lord. They're, you know, this is a holy thing. And for them, it's just they're taking advantage of you. They're charging you more money than they should. And Peter says their condemnation is hanging, has been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. God does not take it lightly that people take advantage, particularly monetary advantage, of God's people. What happens when you're born again is you start to have your innocence restored to you, and you start to have sort of some naivety restored to you. And there's people that will come in and try to take advantage of you because you're an innocent person, because you're a good person, because you're a forgiving person. So they set up their goods in the court of the Gentiles. Now, this is where the outsiders could come to worship. But they set up a marketplace there. So the outsiders couldn't come. The Gentiles couldn't come. There's no place for them to do it. They should have, in that temple area, in the court of the Gentiles part, they should have been doing missionary work, because the foreigners were coming to them, but they had filled it up with just ways to take advantage of religious people and to rip them off, and Jesus didn't like it at all. So he cleanses the temple. Mark mentions doves. Doves were a poor person's offering. And so there's poor people coming there as well. And the worst thing here is that these merchandisers, these money changers who are charging exorbitant amounts for these animals, they're taking advantage of the poor. And so here you have the sacrifice of the poor. The poor are sacrificing in order to come here and to bring a sacrifice. And they become victims of the temple traders. Wow. Jesus doesn't like that. And it says it's supposed to be a house of prayer for all nations, for all people. Jesus cleanses a temple. And then what it says in Mark, after Jesus gets rid of all the religious nonsense, all of the religious ripoffs, all of the religious hypocrites, he gets rid of them out of there. In Matthew, it says, then the blind and the lame and the broken came to him. Jesus wants to heal the blind, the lame, and the crippled. But religion gets in the way. And people who are hypocrites get in the way of those who are in need of God and want to come to God. So there you are. There's a Monday. We'll continue on Tuesday, the Holy Week, the last week in the life and the ministry of Jesus. Should be exciting. So bless you guys.